Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Lauren.
I'm Felicia.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Yes, we do. We're back this week. Mine is also a wild story about a woman. So I am talking about Linda Eleanor Riss, and she was born in the Bronx. She's a real New York gal. On February 23rd, 1937. So she also had kind of like a not the best upbringing. Her parents divorced when she was very young, and she was ultimately, like, over the course of her childhood, raised by her mother, grandmother, and an aunt. Her father left home when she was 4 years old. Then her mother had to, you know, start working, and so she was sent away to live with her aunt. She eventually had to go back to her mother and grandmother's house when she was about 12 years old because she got rheumatic fever, and I don't know why. I guess she couldn't live with the aunt's family at that time, and so she had to go back. But as she grew up, she was a very beautiful woman. When she was, like, you know, 20 years old, people compared her to Liz Taylor. She had this, like, very dark hair, these kind of, like, you know, that, like, bluish, purplish eyes like Liz Taylor, and was very fashionable. So in 1956, a man named Bert, and I should know how to say his last name. I think it's Pugach, maybe? Pugach? Saw her on a park bench. I know it's a bad last name. It's P-U-G. Really is.
There's a lot of people that are going to make fun of that kid.
I know. It's P-U-G-A-C-H. Pugach?
It's possible. I don't know.
But so this man, Bert, saw her on a park bench, was immediately taken by her beauty. And so he, like, went up to her, and she kind of thought he was, like, she is – so there's a documentary where you can watch both of them, and she is, like, a – I don't know. She just cracks me up. She was, like, I don't know. I thought he was crazy. Like, he was trying to, like, you know, woo her. And she just, like, gave him her phone number kind of to get rid of him. And so when she got home, he had somehow had a dozen roses delivered to her place. Wow. And so she was, you know, a little smitten. And started, you know, started a romantic relationship with him. So this man, Bert, was 32 years old. She was 21. So he was, you know, 11 years older than her. He was a New York-based lawyer and just, like, kind of obsessed with her. So in the wooing process, he was always sending her flowers and taking her out to fancy meals. He, like, flew her in this plane that he had. Like, he had all this, like, flashy stuff that really, you know, made her attracted to him. And he wasn't very attractive physically, but kind of, like, you know, won her over with all the gifts and money and all of that. So he was the only child of Russian immigrants. He talks in the documentary about having, like, a very overbearing mother who basically, like, wouldn't let him do anything on his own. He claims his mother would beat him, even, like, belting him in the face when he misbehaved. So another kind of just, like, sad, weird upbringing. But he grew up to be a successful lawyer, and he bought this beautiful home in New Rochelle, New York. And plot twist, he started a family. So he had a wife while he wooing our girl Linda. Not great. So he married Francine Riefen in June 1951. They were seemingly, you know, relatively happy until he met Linda on that park bench 6 years later. So Linda finds out that he has a wife and daughter. And, you know, basically is like, you got to file for divorce. So he gives her divorce papers, and then she figures out that they're fake divorce papers.
No. Fake divorce papers.
I know. Like, why even – why? Yeah.
What
why
year not was just this? Say? Is this before Google? How did he get them?
Yeah. 1957. So, yeah, he must have made them himself. So – she finds out that the divorce papers are fake, breaks things off with him again, and she moves to Florida at this point. She's like, get me away from him. In Florida, she meets this like very buff, very handsome, poor man named Lawrence Schwartz. So he unfortunately goes away to the army and Bert reappears. He apparently like had his father get in contact with Linda somehow and say like, he's divorced, he's a good man, like take him back. And Bert's wife calls her and says, no, we're still married. I'm not going to divorce him. She tells her, like girl to girl on the phone, he cheated, you know, constantly in our marriage. It's not a good situation. So Linda, happy with her, you know, army boyfriend, gets engaged to him at some point. And Bert did not take this well.
Oh, no.
So Bert, I guess just like, I'm like, how do they figure out any of this in the 1950s? Maybe she told them. I don't know. Maybe she said like, leave me alone. I'm engaged. So he gets suicidal, and I think at some point she – I'm not sure the timeline, but eventually she's back in New York, I think, because where all this goes down is New York. So he starts, like, following Linda, and, like, he threatens her. He says, like, if I can't have you, no one will. You know, when I get through with you, no one will want you. Like, all of that kind of stuff. So he makes good with this threat. This is a wild story.
No, I'm scared.
Yes. So he uses all this money that he has to pay men to go rough her up, basically. So this was all in 1959. So three attackers rang her doorbell, explaining that they had an engagement present for her. So she answers the door, and they threw lye in her eyes.
What is that?
Which left,
what is that?
It's basically just acid. So it left her scarred for life.
Oh, my God.
Or I don't know if acid's the right
nightmare.
Word.
Nightmare.
It's in like cleaning supplies. It's like chemicals.
That is a nightmare.
That is so she's, scary.
It's so scary. So she is like semi-blind and scarred. And during this is really sad. When she goes to the hospital, at some point in the months that she spent in the hospital following, Lawrence, her, you know, young, buff, poor guy, decides to leave her because she's no longer beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Sad.
That is horrible.
So this all, like, kind of, like, it was already starting to obviously get media attention at this point. Someone so, like, young and beautiful, being disfigured, very intense story. So Bert was convicted of masterminding the attack, and he spent 14 years in prison. So, you know, not as long, but like at least they punished him.
At least he went to prison.
So Linda moves to or like flies to Europe, has like a fun little trip, is like wearing dark sunglasses and enjoying her time, but didn't marry anyone. Even like at that time, she always like in the documentary, she talks about like she always thought of herself as like damaged merchandise ever since she was scarred.
Sad.
It's so sad. But Bert didn't give up. He in prison. I know. This is wild. It's all wild. When he's in prison, he keeps writing her, right? Like he sends her love letters, telling her how beautiful she is, saying, I want to marry you when I get out of prison. I don't care that you're disfigured. I'm so sorry. Like I just got crazy for a little bit. So she never goes and visits him in prison or anything, but he starts working out in prison as well. So he's like getting buff, writing her love letters. And her life sadly kind of like starts going downhill. So she's like living in this tiny apartment in Manhattan. She doesn't have any relationships. She's like facing this kind of, you know, what she thinks will probably be like a future alone. So I guess when he's released from prison, he proposes to her on TV, like on the news, says like, will you marry me, Linda? This woman that he paid people to throw lye in her face. And when he gets out of prison, she decides to marry him.
Linda! No! Oh, God. This
man
is a terrible
who
story.
I can't even. It's just sad. So in 1974, this is all when this is going place or taking place. It's like a huge media sensation, right? People are like, how is she marrying this man that did this to her? There was a book written about them that was called A Very Different Love Story that was published in 1976. They're also on this documentary, as I said, called Crazy Love. And reporters were all up in their business. You know, they talked about how they were fighting all the time. But then the couple would like go back to the newspapers or like do a television thing and say how they're completely devoted to each other. They're very in love. And she always, you know, she would always wear these like big dark glasses that hide a lot of her face. So she's still like very glamorous looking and like very beautiful. I'm sure, you know, I really don't think there's pictures of what she really looked like.
I found one. Sorry. I've been
Googling, you did?
I was dying to see. I think there is one of her at a party. I don't know when it is. But
is it bad?
Yeah, she's very beautiful. She's before. Her before is very beautiful.
Oh, before.
Yeah.
I was like, is there anything of what her eyes look like?
No. The other picture I see, she's always wearing the glasses. But the before, she's like very beautiful.
Oh, it's just so sad. Isn't she glam? Like she's very, she's very glamorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the story gets crazier. So they're married, you know, media is like kind of like tracking them, but like they're having fun. He's wealthy. She's like, whatever. In 1997, they come back into the spotlight when Bert went on trial in Queens on charges that he had sexually abused a woman and threatened to kill her.
Oh,
so I know. So he represented himself in the trial. Linda even testifies for him, saying that he's a wonderful, caring husband. And the woman claims that she was Bert's mistress for 5 years.
He represented himself, which is such a psychopathic thing people do, like serial killers. It's like, not okay.
I will say he was at least a lawyer, but I don't know what kind of lawyer. It might not have been anything like that. But still crazy, right?
Yeah.
And he was convicted, but only of harassment in the second degree. So she had like, I guess there was like 11 different things that she was charging him for. And he was only sentenced to 15 days in jail. Kind of sad. So obviously I have like a million questions, right? But when Bert was interviewed later in life, like how do you like live at night knowing that you like permanently, you know, damaged supposedly like the love of your life, right? Like blinded her. And he just says that it was like a neurotic reaction to a terrible situation. He said every day of his life, he regrets what he did. They also decided not to have children because they were worried about like how these possible children would look at Bert because so many people hated him. And I'm like, that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Like you had to tell your child.
Not to be judgmental, but it sounds like a couple that should not bring children into the world.
No, I agree. I think it's right, probably. So they also like – it seemed like they like got along in their relationship by never really discussing what had happened. So, which I'm just like, it's so crazy. But she did forgive him, seemingly, and he tried to make up for it by like giving her this, you know, very nice life by doing everything that he could. He does say in the documentary, which I just don't believe, that supposedly he just hired the attackers to like, as I said, like rough her up, and that he didn't intend for them to throw the lie and like that they did that. But I'm like, that just feels like
I
so
don't
specific,
believe it.
Right?
Especially because you said the part of like, no one's going to love you after what I've done or whatever. It's like, no way.
And she's so beautiful. And like, he was obsessed with how beautiful she is. And then was like, I'm going to do something that makes you not beautiful. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So again, the story does not stop there. So she dies very sadly in 2013. She was 75 years old.
Wow.
Yes. At a hospital in Queens of heart failure. seemingly, you know, just like normal older person mm-hmm. thing. She was still married to Bert. They had been married for more than 38 years, and he was like her only, you know, survivor. So only real person in her life. So Bert passed away December 24th, Christmas Eve, in 2020 in Queens. So he was very, I think he was like 93 at this point. So he was very old, lived a long life. Yeah. But the scandal doesn't end there. So there was a New York Police Department veteran and his cop son who were accused of being part of a plot to basically steal Bert's money. It was $15 million from his estate. So he was very wealthy. So he was – Bert was supposedly conned because he had this caregiver and girlfriend woman whose name was Shaman Sheila. I guess she went by Sheila Frawley. So she was 41 years younger than him. She started taking care of him after he had a stroke in 2016. So for basically the last 4 years of his life, she was his girlfriend and his caregiver. And so basically like when he died, that $15 million was going to her, but there's sort of like, you know, basically like some hearsay about, you know, whether she loved him or whether she just wanted his money. But a group of Bert's friends filed a lawsuit arguing that Sheila manipulated Bert into changing his will to give her the money and then apparently like stopped giving him food and starved him to death. Yes.
Oh my God.
I know. So she was married to a man named William Frawley, even though she claims that their marriage was like dead even before she met Bert. But Bert's friends just feel like this is like, you know, a crazy situation that he would leave his money to Sheila instead of previously his will said that he was giving his money to this charitable foundation for the blind that he had set up with his wife, Linda. And then it was somehow in the last 4 years of his life switched over to be, you know, just going to Sheila or a lot of it going to Sheila. And so the lawsuit said that like Sheila, her husband, William, and her son were in on this scam. He even like pretended, like her husband pretended to be her father at some point, and that they both like used their, you know, cop knowledge to use like surveillance technology and whatever, hand all the stuff on that side. And so I literally cannot, I mean, please write into this podcast. So I was like Googling, you know, a ton, and a judge did freeze the funds temporarily. So she wasn't able to get the money right away, but I can't find an update on whether she won the case or got the money or not. So maybe I'm just not doing a thorough enough research job, but I'll post it. Maybe we'll post it on Instagram if I find it after we edit this or, you know, after this recording. But it's like all these headlines, right? When he died and the money was going to her and all this about the lawsuit. But I can't figure out like what happened if she got the money.
I'm so curious. Yeah, but and it was kind of recent. So
yes.
I don't know.
So I'm like, we should have, you know, an update on it. But I feel like maybe if I listen to like there are a lot of other podcasts you can listen to as well about this case. But it's really a wild story from start to finish.
That is so wild. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, that is a bad man. That is a bad man.
A bad man. But I'm also like, I don't know. Like, how do you like sleep in the same bed as someone who like tried to like, who like took your sight away?
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's just, it's really a wild story.
Yeah. What's and then the I'm documentary? Like,
it's called Crazy Love, but okay. They are both characters. Like they both feel so like Bronx, New York, you know, like,
and I wonder if like in some way they liked the attention of the spotlight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if totally. That also like held them together. Yeah.
Yeah. And if she was like, I want to be, you know, she was so beautiful like before all of this and she like wanted to keep that, you know. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Totally.
How
the attention.
It's just crazy. And honestly, like, she's like, I've got this millionaire husband who feels super bad. I don't know. He probably did, like, give her a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Man, that's a crazy story. I want to watch the documentary because I want to, like, hear them talk.
They are really – it's really entertaining. I didn't watch the whole thing. I, like, bounced around. But they have, like – they also have, like – I mean, I guess it makes sense. But they have, like, a ton of friends, right? Like, they have all these wow. people that are, like, speaking about it. I'm like, can you imagine being friends with them?
No, like, I cannot.
What would you say to your girlfriend if she was like, oh, yeah, like, I'm marrying the guy that blinded me?
No. No.
Just wow. crazy.
That's a crazy story. That was amazing. Both stories this week, I feel like we're, like – it was fun to do some, like – you know, I guess true crime style stories.
Yes, for sure.
But cool. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.